This is Full Logic Reverse. I'm your host, Mike Thornton. We hope you'll stay tuned. We are joined on the line by Anuradha Mittal of Food First. Anuradha, thank you for being with us on the program again.
A pleasure to be with you again, Mike.
Well, we appreciate that you were able to be with us. Can we first begin by letting our listeners who may not be familiar with Food First, let them know about that, and then also how you got involved with it, and then we can begin to talk about the America Needs Human Rights campaign.
Well, Food First, or the Institute for Food and Development Policy, is a 25-year-old policy think tank, which is based in Oakland, California. It was founded by the famous author of Diet for a Small Planet, Francis Moore-Lappe, and it is a policy think tank which has been dedicated to doing research, analysis, and education for action on issues of growing poverty, hunger, and economic insecurity all over the world, including the United States. And as far as I'm concerned, I'm from India, and I grew up on the wonderful books and literature from Food First. And so when I moved to the U.S. to teach at UC Berkeley, it seemed a very organic, you know, connection for me to make, to hook up with the Institute, and it's my great pleasure to be the policy director here today.
One of the things that very often, I think for many people, kind of gets somewhat glossed over, we have a tendency, I think, in the United States to think in terms of human rights, and always pointing that at what's going on perhaps in other countries. And you very pointedly said human rights, including here in the United States. Can you expand on that a little bit?
Yeah, Mike, you know, when we talk about human rights, we have been conditioned to think that human rights only mean our civil and political rights. So when we use the framework of human rights to talk about national policies, we tend to talk about China or Burma or Indonesia, forgetting what our president, President Franklin Roosevelt, had talked about, the Second Bill of Rights, which are our economic and social human rights, which basically guarantee us the right to food, right to health care, right to social security. And President Roosevelt had said that it is as important to be free from want as it is to have freedom from, you know, fear. So basically, our social and economic human rights are at the same level as civil and political human rights. They are indivisible. And we contend that while America is in the midst of an economic boom, millions of Americans are not sharing the benefits. While the wealthy are growing richer, millions of poor working Americans are still trying to make ends meet. They do not have any share in this boom. And the gap between the rich and the poor is approaching its worst point in 50 years now. So we are saying that in a booming economy, the fact that more than 36 million Americans do not have adequate access to food, and this number includes 14 million children, or the fact that over 44 million Americans do not have adequate health insurance or have no insurance, these are very serious issues. These are serious violations of what our policymakers should be looking at and providing to the people. So that's the contention when we say that America needs human rights, that in a booming economy, in the richest nation on earth, it is not too much to ask to ensure that everyone has food in their belly, that our children have a decent future by providing them a decent, you know, health care and decent access to food.
It's a really interesting question, and I'm not quite sure whether it's appropriate to ask it now, but you know what I can't quite figure out is that, you know, we're talking about and we see people and as you so stated, families and children often homeless in our streets, hungry, going from place to place, you know, more or less having to beg for food and shelter, and I don't understand why it seems in America that there are people, and there seem to be so many people, who think that's okay. Or I guess maybe that some of them don't think it's okay, but they just don't seem to be willing to do anything about it. It boggles my mind. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Well, I believe actually that it matters to Americans whether or not U.S. or their nation lives up to the international human rights standards to which, you know, the country subscribes. And I do believe that most of the Americans do believe in fairness and justice. And whether our nation lives up to its beliefs You know, it matters to the people. And I think the problem is one of the information that has been put out there. We have been made, we have been told that the human rights that we need to believe in are one about civil and political human rights. I think more and more people are concerned about seeing, you know, increasing homelessness and poverty on the streets, and the next day picking up the newspaper and reading about how the economy is doing well. You know, the question is not just of that people do not have sensitivity to these issues. Most of the middle-class Americans are feeling the economic insecurity themselves. Most of us do not have the job security that our parents could have talked about. So I think, you know, there is a growing questioning that is happening. And I think our campaign for economic human rights, The Time Has Come, is a good, you know, a kind of a result of that, because there are over 200 groups across the country that have signed on to the platform of economic human rights and the need for economic human rights. More important, policymakers, Congress people, are supporting our campaign, and they're coming with us on bus tours to see things out for themselves, to release their position papers on income inequality or a living wage. So I think it is a growing movement, and it has been a secret for a very long time that we have something called our economic human rights, but that's beginning to change.
We're talking with Anuradha Mittal of Food First. Anuradha, while you were speaking, I was thinking about something, and I just want to kind of throw it out there because it's an idea that came to me, is that in many cases, it seems that, you know, people do, you know, certainly care. I mean, I agree with you. I think most American people are good and decent people. But there is also sort of this underlying, perhaps, programming, if you will, or maybe even brainwashing, where we're conditioned to see people who are not participating in the economic boom, that we have been conditioned, if not brainwashed, as a people, to see them as deficient, that there's something wrong with them, and they're different than us, and we need them to be different than us, because if they're not different than us, then what is happening to them could just as easily happen to us. Does that make sense?
Right. I think, you know, if you look at some of the popular media, or, well, I should say the corporate media, they would like us to believe that the people who have been on welfare, who have needed the support of from the government, are people who are in some way lazy or inefficient, or they have made choice to usurp the taxpayers' money. And I think that's why our latest report, America Needs Human Rights, the latest publication from Food First, is a valuable resource for people who are looking for real answers, to be able to go through it and see for themselves how, in this, in today's America, the American dream is becoming an illusion of opportunity for many people. And this includes, as I said before, a number of, you know, the middle-class folks. We're talking about people who have somewhat sense of security in their jobs, but you never know with the mergers that are happening. So I think there's a lot of that argument, especially around welfare reform. We saw that people who are on welfare are lazy people, or they're people who need to be criminalized. We have seen, whether in our own cities, the kind of laws that are being passed around homelessness, they tend to criminalize the homeless. They tend to criminalize mothers on welfare. And that's why it is becoming more and more important that we question that, because we are not that far away from joining those ranks.
It's interesting, because when you were speaking, I was thinking, at one point in my life, I lived in Phoenix, Arizona, and the city embarked on a program whereby they sent city crews out during the day and night to spray some sort of oily film over the garbage that was in dumpsters, with the idea that this oily film would then keep people from looking through these dumpsters for food or whatever. And then when that didn't work, they just went around chaining them all up. I mean, you know, it's sort of like this mentality of, well, you know, you're so hungry or you're so poor that you're going to be digging in other people's garbage, and we're going to find a way to prevent you from doing that. I mean, well, it's just amazing sometimes.
You know, we have seen those kind of very mean-spirited policies happen here, you know, in San Francisco, one of the most liberal cities in the country. Or we've seen it happen in Berkeley as well, where some really nasty laws have been passed, enacted to, you know, so we can keep the homeless people away from the place to sleep or to take away food from the hungry. And that is why Food First, along with the Institute for Policy Studies, is launching an economic human rights bus tour. We will be launching it in Atlanta on November 11th. And Atlanta is the place where we saw a lot of these things happen around, you know, when the Olympics and, you know, were being held. So, you know, in those states, we have seen that happen. And this basically is being launched with the progressive members of the Congress. We are going to have, you know, celebrities such as Danny Glover, Harry Belafonte, who have been UN ambassadors of peace. We're going to have Congress people, including Congresswoman Barbara Lee, Congresswoman Cynthia McKinney, Representative John Lewis, Representative John Conyers, among others. And they will be listening directly to the kind of people whose basic human rights have been violated, people who have had to go through the garbage cans to look for some food, or homeless people who have looked for a place to sleep. And the kind of human dignity issue that you were talking about, Mike, those issues will be addressed in Atlanta on November 11th and 12th.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I was listening to the news earlier today, and I was hearing some talk about an alleged raise in the minimum wage, and, you know, a big argument about, oh, are we going to raise it a dollar over 2 years or a dollar over 3 years? And I guess they decided that a dollar over 3 years would do it, up to, you know, something like $6.35 or something like that. And I'm saying to myself when I'm listening to this report, I'm going, none of these people have any idea what it's like to try and live on minimum wage. You know what I mean? And I think it's really good that Food First and the Institute are getting some of the people who are involved in some of the higher echelons of our governmental structure to actually come and talk to people who are actually having to live these conditions. I mean, it's real easy sometimes, I think, for people to sit up in ivory towers, if you will, going, oh, well, we're going to do this or we're going to do that. It's a whole nother thing to get them on the ground and say, now talk to somebody who really has to live like this. I think that's wonderful. Can you talk more about the actual kickoff of the campaign and then what the campaign will look like after that?
Right. Well, you know, I just want to remind our listeners that in July, President Clinton had launched a poverty tour, and then last week he did a four-city, you know, poverty tour, and we're really glad that, you know, policymakers, our president himself, has opened the debate on poverty. But his proposals only scratch the surface of a long-term solution. And he has just completed the second leg of his New Markets Initiative to pull the private sector into poverty alleviation. And, you know, it is focusing, his tour focused national attention on poverty, and yet there is a very, you know, limit to the role that the private sector can play. And so what we are hoping to do is that on November 11th in Atlanta, we are going to be kicking off this economic human rights bus tour with the Congress people and with, you know, celebrities that I mentioned. And the delegation will visit a soup kitchen at the Antioch Baptist Church food pantry. The people will be served with other people, and they'll have to stand in the, you know, the soup lines. They'll visit a healthcare coalition at a Grady Memorial Hospital, which has seen some major cuts in its budget, basically balancing the budget on the backs of the poor. And they'll also have a public forum at the Georgia Citizen Coalition on Hunger, where they will basically highlight the dire need of national policy initiatives that could make a real difference in people's lives, not like you, as you were saying, you know, $1 increase over 3 years. And all these stops, they will feature personal testimonies from mothers on welfare, black farmers who have filed a lawsuit against the USDA, and they'll listen to members of healthcare, workers' rights, and living wage coalitions. Now, at these stops, the Congress people will be announcing their position papers on living wage, not just a minimum wage increase, I'm talking about a living wage, on a proposal on healthcare and education for all. And after this tour is over, we plan to continue working with this progressive caucus, which has, which is a 55-member body, and it is a quarter of the House Democrats, basically, we are talking about. So we will be working with them, pushing our agenda, and kind of promoting economic human rights for all.
This is Full Logic Reverse. We'll be back in just a few moments. We're talking with Anuradha Mittal of Food First, and we're talking about the fact that America needs human rights. Anuradha, you touched on the issue of the black farmers suing USDA. Can you expand on that just a little bit more? Because I know that's a story that I had wanted to hear a little bit more about. Any more detail that you could give with that?
Well, you know, most of us feel that we have gotten rid of, you know, whatever guilt that we had about slavery. We feel after slavery was abolished, we gave our, you know, our African-American population 4 acres and a mule. But what has happened since then is that these farmers who needed the assistance from the United States Department of Agriculture over time has seen such racism and such racial discrimination that prevented them from getting any sort of loans, any kind of aid, whether it was after a natural disaster or any kind of loan relief programs. So basically it meant that they had to go to private, you know, banks and others to get loans. And it is predicted that things have been so bad that by next year 2000, not a single black farmer will be left in the country. So it is not just that the basic civil and political rights have been violated, but the economic and social human rights have been violated. Their livelihoods have been destroyed. And therefore, the black farmers filed a lawsuit against the United States Department of Agriculture and organizations such as Federation of Southern Cooperatives, Black Farmers Agriculturists Association and others. They were plaintiffs in this lawsuit. And they are basically demanding justice, which would ensure that black farmers are not made extinct species by next year.
We're talking with Anuradha Mittal of Food First. Anuradha, in addition to the campaign, there's also a publication that you touched on, the publication America Needs Human Rights, and I was looking at some information about it. It seems that it's a tremendously informative and interesting book. Can you talk a little bit more about it?
Yeah, America Needs Human Rights is the latest publication from Food First, and I'll just say Noam Chomsky, the Nobel laureate, had to say that it provides a cogent analysis of fundamental problems that disfigure our society, along with guidelines for addressing them in a constructive way. So it's, I'm one of the co-editors, so it feels funny saying it, but it's a book which can be very resourceful, and it presents basically how growing hunger, growing poverty, how welfare reform, how basically what women have gone through in this country through, you know, welfare reform and others, these are all violations of human rights. More important, it presents a new framework of working on a social policies and what that framework might be if it is based on the framework of human rights. And this book is available from Food First, and people can order it through our website by going to www.foodfirst.org. And Food First is one word. I repeat, it is www.foodfirst.org. And the book kind of paints the picture that while America is in the midst of an economic boom, how the income inequalities are growing, how hunger is increasing, how homelessness is increasing, and the fact that in this richest country on earth, 1 in 5 children under the age of 5 lives in poverty, it is the highest figure among industrialized countries. It's something that we need to be concerned about. But it's not just a book which kind of alarms you and throws these facts and figures. As I said before, it actually presents a new framework for looking at these issues and how we can organize and mobilize around to ensure human rights for all.
Well, you know, I certainly understand your humility, but I'll pat you on the back. I mean, when you do good work, you deserve a pat on the back, and you do good work. And so let me share with you that Anuradha is being very humble, and she certainly does a tremendous amount of good work. I'm kind of looking just to share a little bit of what I'm looking at about the table of contents of what's included in the publication America Needs Human Rights, and we're looking at chapters on illusions of opportunity, hunger in the land of plenty, the inner city when work disappears, the real causes of homelessness, and so forth and so on. It would seem to me that a book like America Needs Human Rights, in addition to being informative for the reader, could actually be used as a tool when you have those friends and or others that want to argue about these topics, and you could say, well, let me tell you about this. I mean, it would make good ammunition, too, I would think.
No, it is a very resourceful tool, and I think it is not, that way I would agree with you. It is a very resourceful tool, and for people who find it hard to believe that there are people who are facing hunger or homelessness, This is also a book which could be used for course adoptions at universities. It presents a good sociological analysis of a current society in the United States of America, and it does paint out the situation in the inner cities. It does put out the race and the gender perspective on issues. It tells you specifically about homelessness or about welfare reform or about hunger. And it is a very strong argument for demanding human rights for all in the richest nation on earth.
We're talking with Anuradha Mittal of Food First. Anuradha, I wanted to ask you a question, because so much of what's happening, and increasingly so, and should be, regarding discussions of economics and social issues, political issues, are going to be increasingly over the next few weeks put in context of the upcoming World Trade Organization meeting, which is going to be happening in Seattle. And as I understand it, you will be there as part of the International Forum on Globalization teach-in?
Right.
Can you talk a little bit about the IFG and the WTO and what we should be looking at when we're looking at Seattle, and what we should be getting from this whole experience that's going to be happening here in the U.S.?
Well, I think with the next ministerial round, which is going to happen in Seattle of the World Trade Organization, though we are told that free trade is great for us and it's going to mean more opportunities, more jobs for Americans, it is something that we need to be a little, doubtful about and ask for more facts. Because the first round that was held in 1994, we have seen that a lot of jobs have disappeared. A lot of jobs have moved out to other countries. And that is because it's a rush to the bottom. Whoever will do a job for less will give up the environmental, standards, the human rights standards, labor standards. They get the jobs. So it's not that our brothers and sisters in the third world are stealing jobs from us, but in fact they're being paid really bad wages, and those jobs have gone from here. So I think, the thing that we should be looking out for as American people, that our representatives represent our interests and not the corporate interests. Unfortunately, that's how it's been going on, that our representatives, instead of representing what would be good for us, have been representing the interests of corporations, ensuring more and more profits for them. Groups such as Food First are working with International Forum on Globalization, which is based in San Francisco, and they will be organizing a big teach-in in Seattle before the start of the WTO ministerial round on the 26th and the 27th of November. And for more information, they can contact the International Forum on Globalization in San Francisco at 415-771-3394. And I think people should be looking at a whole lot of issues. This is going to be, we're going to be talking about agriculture, big changes in agriculture. We're going to be talking about forestry laws. We're going to be talking about environmental standards and labor standards. So I think everyone should be caring about those issues, keeping on top of it, not necessarily believing everything that is going to be reported in the corporate media. And if people can come out to Seattle to show solidarity with third world activists who will be there as well, asking for a fairer world, a world where justice is ensured for all, that would be a tremendous opportunity.
One of the things I think is really important is that the kind of things that will be going on inside the WTO meeting, if these policies are put in place, we're really talking about something that's going to affect the future of every man, woman, and child, and their children, and their children, and their children, and their children, on and on, because we're talking, as I understand it, in many cases about policies and agreements that will put profit above everything else. And we're talking about the destruction of food supplies and who will control what food supplies are left, the destruction of environmental protections, labor protections. This is literally, I think, going to be almost a confrontation, if you will, for the future of the planet itself as we're on the eve of the millennium. I mean, I don't think I'm overstating that, do you?
No, I totally agree with you. I think a lot of things that are, for example, described in the book America Needs Human Rights, they have been made more severe, especially since the free trade agreements have been signed onto. So I think when we are making a call for America Needs Human Rights, we also, when we talk about the world scenario, we're talking about the people in this world need human rights again. Thanks to the free trade agreements, corporations have more human rights than we do as human beings. And that is a very serious situation that we would have to counter.
We've been speaking with Anuradha Mittal of Food First about America needing human rights. Anuradha, what I'd like to ask you to do, if you can, is to let people know how they can get more information about the book, the campaign, Food First, and then also if you have any final thoughts to share with our audience today.
Well, I would say to the listeners, we at Food First would love to hear from you. Please give us a call, if you can, at 510-654-4400. I'll repeat that, 510-654-4400. And if you'd like more information about the book, or you would like more information about the Economic Human Rights Bus Tour, or you would want to find out more about Food First, check our website at www.foodfirst.org. Which is one word, .org. And last message would be, get involved. We need to be working with each other. We need to be demanding our human rights now.
Anuradha Mittal of Food First, thank you for joining us on the program today.
Thank you so much.
We'll see you in Seattle.
See you then. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us for this edition of the program today. I'm your host, Mike Thornton, and it's been my pleasure to be part of the team bringing you Full Logic Reverse. If you'd like more information about FLR, you can contact us via email, flr@jps.net, or by telephone, 530-271-0804. We invite you to join us next time for another edition of Full Logic Reverse.